Chapter 3. How far can I go? Whenever I travel to Washington, D.C., I try my best to get to the Smithsonian Museum. I love history, especially of the United States, and there are a lot of incredible artifacts and displays at the Smithsonian from our nation's 200 years. Of all the exhibits, one in particular is my favorite. It shows a video clip of a speech made by President John F. Kennedy to Congress on May 25, 1961. Every time I see it, I get goosebumps. It records the moment that Kennedy called America to execute the most incredible and improbable real-life journey ever conceived. He cast vision for the achievement of an idea that had been written about as early as A.D. 160 by Greek satirist Lucian of Samosata and thought about for thousands of years. Kennedy said, "I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before the decade is out, of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to Earth." With today's popularity of science fiction stories, traveling to the moon almost seems mundane. After all, on television, you can see people living in deep space or trekking around the galaxy every day of the week. But in 1961, it was just about the wildest goal imaginable. Today, it would be like proposing that a person swim the Pacific Ocean from California to Japan and then back again. Back in the late 1950s and early 60s, America found itself in a space race with the Soviet Union, and we were falling way behind. I was about 10 years old when we heard that the USSR had launched the first man-made satellite, Sputnik, into orbit. It felt like the equivalent of going to bed one night as the best athlete in your school and waking up the next morning only to find out that Babe Ruth was the new kid in class. What a shock! Then they launched Sputnik 2, which carried the first space traveler, Laika the dog, and in 1959 they sent off Lunar 1, the first spacecraft to escape the Earth's gravitational field and fly by the moon. It seemed that the Soviets were landing one knockout punch after another. In the midst of the hopelessness of the situation, President John F. Kennedy came forward, stood before the United States Congress, and said he would see a man on the moon by the end of the decade. Most people thought it was impossible. Even some of the people at NASA thought it couldn't be done. The technology required to make it happen didn't even exist, and they weren't sure that it could exist. But that didn't stop Kennedy. He not only made the impossible our goal, but he gave it a deadline. Despite all the doubts, 9 years later, on July 16, 1969, Apollo 11 lifted off from the Pad 39 at Kennedy Space Center and began a journey of 244,930 miles to the moon. 4 days later, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin Jr. landed the lunar module Eagle on the surface of the moon, and 500 million people watched on television as Armstrong took his first step into the powder-fine gray dust of the moon and uttered his famous line, "That's one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind." We had done it. That trip shouldn't have been possible, but it happened. What propelled us to accomplish such a feat, and also in record time? It wasn't the strength of our technology or the Cold War threat of Soviet superiority. We put people on the moon because we believed that we could do it. In the blink of an eye, John F. Kennedy's speech made a lunar landing change from an impossible dream to an obtainable target. It hardly mattered where we were technologically. A moon landing became a reality because of a change in attitude. You see, when our attitudes outdistance our abilities, even the impossible becomes possible. I've talked to people who worked in the space program.